Chang rocked back in his chair. Before the mission director could say anything, Jamie added, "I want to determine how close to self-sufficiency we can make this base."
"Self-sufficiency?" Chang echoed in a near whisper.
"Selene is willing to lend us technical expertise," Jamie added. Vijay felt her brows go up. That was a stretch. Stavanger hadn't promised anything so definite.
"This is an extremely difficult matter," said Chang, picking his words carefully. "It will require much thought, much investigation."
"That's why I'm here," Jamie said with a slow smile.
"I see.
I understand." Shifting in his chair slightly, Jamie shifted the subject. "I'd also like to meet Dr. Carlton. He is here at the base, isn't he?"
Chang nodded. "He was not among those who greeted you on your arrival."
"No, he wasn't."
"He is most likely at his digging site. He spends much time there."
"Of course."
"He will undoubtedly want to meet you this evening when he returns from his digging."
"Good," said Jamie. But Vijay thought there was something beneath Chang's bland words, something unspoken about Dr. Carter Carlton. She wondered what it might be.
Tithonium Base. Introductions. Carter Carlton was not at his excavation site. He was in bed with Doreen McManus, propping himself on one elbow as he gazed down at her lean, naked body glistening with perspiration. A line from an ancient motion picture popped into his mind. "Not much meat on her, but what there is choice." Doreen smiled up at him.
"This is much more fun than digging in that pit."
He grinned back. "We've got two professors of geology, a biochemist and an astronaut working the dig, if I remember the schedule correctly."
She nodded. "They ought to be finishing their shift right about now."
Carlton made an exaggerated sigh. "Oh, I guess I'll have to get dressed and see them when they come in.
And Dr. Waterman is due to arrive this afternoon. I think he's already here."
"Really?" Carlton got up from the bed and picked up his paper-thin bathrobe.
"Didn't you hear the applause a little while ago?"
"Applause? No." With a grin, "I was busy." Doreen's face grew serious.
"You really didn't hear it?"
"You did?"
"You mean you were so completely absorbed by lovemaking that you didn't pay attention to anything else?"
He sat on the edge of the bed and began to stroke her hip. "This is the very ecstasy of love," he quoted, "whose violent property leads the will to desperate undertaking."
"No more desperate undertakings," Doreen said, putting a finger to his lips. "You'd better..."
The intercom phone buzzed. Carlton had the answering recording on. They heard his voice say, "I'm either not in or busy. Please leave your name and I'll get back to you." Doreen smiled at the word busy.
"Dr. Carlton," said a man's voice, "this is Jamie Waterman. I've just arrived at the base and I'd like to see you at your earliest convenience. Thanks."
Carlton slowly got to his feet.
"Duty calls."
The living quarters at Tithonium Base were nothing more than single rooms shaped like wedges of a pie in sets of 10 built in a circle around a common lavatory. Carlton flung his robe over his bare shoulder and opened the lavatory door a crack. It was empty, so he stepped in. Sitting up in bed, Doreen heard the door click shut. She sat there, unmoving, thinking that this was the first time Carter had ever mentioned the word love to her. It was only one of his silly quotations from Shakespeare, she knew, but still, it was a step in the right direction. She got out of bed and padded to the lavatory. Carlton was in the shower stall, singing off-key in the billowing steam. He looked surprised when Doreen squeezed in. The stall was so narrow their bodies pressed together.
"That's what I like about you," Carlton said, grinning. "A dirty mind and a clean body."
After several slithering moments, Doreen said, "I'd like to meet Dr. Waterman."
"Sure," he said absently, his soapy hands slithering along her buttocks.
"I think he'd be interested in using nanotechnology to enlarge..."
"No."
She flinched at the sharpness of his rejection.
"Why not?"
"I don't want you making an ass of yourself in front of Waterman or anybody else."
"But I can show him how to enlarge the base. We could turn the whole Rift Valley into a completely Earth-like environment. It's called terraforming."
Carlton scowled at her. It's called contamination. Mention that to Waterman and he'll send you packing on the next flight out of here. He's dead set against altering the native environment.
But the base, this dome, isn't that altering the native environment?
We've got to do that. Waterman won't stand for anything more than the bare minimum we need to survive here.
But Carter...
No, he said again, even more firmly. Not a word of it. That's final. She bit back a reply. But to herself, Doreen said,
It's not final, you chauvinist old fart.
Chang showed Jamie and Vijay to one of the larger cubicles and left them to unpack.
This is bigger than what we had before,
Vijay said, looking around the spare little space.
Two bunks, even.
The dome's much bigger, said Jamie. And stronger. Did you notice the ribs supporting it? Not like the pressurized plastic bubbles we used back when. This dome's built to last. Tossing their bags onto the nearer of the two beds, Jamie said, We'll have to push them together. Vijay nodded as Jamie went to the phone and placed a call to Dr. Carlton. By the time they had hung their clothes in the slim closet and arranged their toiletries on the bureau nearest the lavatory door, Carlton called back and invited Jamie to meet him at his laboratory.
You go ahead,
Vijay told him.
I've got to talk with the medical staff, see where I can fit in.
Carlton had appropriated one of the dome's smaller laboratory spaces for himself and turned it into a combination workshop, office, and conference room. Jamie rapped on the shaky accordion fold door. After a couple of moments, Carter Carlton slid the door open. Dr. Waterman, Carlton said, smiling handsomely, this is a pleasure. Taking Carlton's proffered hand in his own, Jamie said, Please call me Jamie. And I'm Carter. Stepping into the laboratory, Jamie saw that it was crammed with a work table along the far partition, a miniature desk with a swivel chair made of bungee cords, bookshelves that were mostly empty, two spindly-looking stools, and a small chair of molded plastic. Blank roll-up smart screens were taped onto two of the room's two-meter-high partitions. It's not much, Carlton said, still smiling as he gestured to the plastic chair, but it's home. Jamie saw the fossil sitting squarely in the middle of the otherwise empty desktop. That's it? He asked. That's a cast, said Carlton, crossing the room in three swift strides to pull a plastic container from the bookshelf. Popping its lid open, he held it out for Jamie. This is the real thing. Jamie peered into the container. The fossil was gray, ridged. It looked hard and durable. Go ahead and take it out, Carlton urged. It's okay. Jamie turned it over in his hands. I don't know much about anatomy, but it sure looks like a vertebra to me. The best paleontologists Earthside agree. It's a vertebra, all right. Probably of an animal that walked on four legs, not upright. Then it's not from one of the intelligent Martians. Who knows? Carlton said. Maybe they scuttled around on four legs, or six, or a dozen. Have you found anything else? Jamie asked. Not yet. We're digging by hand now, going much slower. I understand. Carlton took the fossil back from Jamie and placed it lovingly in the plastic container. He put the container back on the bookshelf, then perched himself on a corner of his desk. The talk around here is that you've come to tell us we're going to shut down, he said. Jamie shook his head. Just the opposite. I'm here to find out how we can stretch what funding we have to allow us to stay as long as we can. Good. I'd like you to talk with Dex Trumbull and some of his foundation people. We should be setting up a video program to show your fossil and explain what you're doing here. Fine by me, said Carlton. Jamie eyed the anthropologist for a silent moment, framing his thoughts. Then he asked, How would you feel about staying here for another year or so, without going home? Carlton broke into a dazzling smile. I wouldn't leave here under any circumstances. The only way they'll get me back to Earth is in a coffin. Manhattan, Worldwide News Network. Orlando Ventura sat at the foot of the small conference table, but he knew all the others depended on him for the crucial decisions. Well, almost all the others. The consultant from the New Morality depended on no one except his own inner certainties, reinforced by orders from Atlanta. Ventura was a compact type, prone to paunchiness,
but he kept his figure reasonably trim with daily workout sessions.